Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Andre's playing the guitar today, and it's out. Good morning and hi. I'm your radio friend Steve. Mark Carman's in for Dave Bennett. Where is Dave Bennett today?
I heard a rumor that he is lifting lots of weights all day long.
Is that right?
He told me not to report that back to you, Steve, but I'm more loyal to you.
Oh, that's it. He's having a gender reassignment surgery today.
Yeah. I don't think he wanted everyone to know that, but he was going to have the big reveal.
Was that live on the air?
Yeah, that part was. Okay.
Here's what's happening. The severe weather threat appears to be less than we thought. Now that the severe thunderstorm warning has been canceled for the moment, both storms can pop up because we've had this crazy hot and humid weather. So I don't know that we're out of the woods yet, but say you're traveling south to central Illinois, or maybe you're going to a place you know well, the University of Illinois.
Yeah, Champaign.
Just be aware, because it could be oogly later.
Yeah, very much so. Rain throughout the day, scattered, and then the big stuff's going to hit tonight. With the high winds. That's the big thing, too.
But is that right?
Winds.
We're still in a... But didn't he just say it was canceled, or is that not canceled for the entire day?
I don't think it's canceled for the entire day.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, look into
it. Let me ask the tape.
No, you look. You look. We can't talk to tape. What's the matter with you? We'll keep you up to date on the weather throughout the morning. Either way, we'll still check in with Skilling when he's available. So, at least Linklater, Tony Preckwinkle later as well, and... Paul Coit later on the Brexit, the British exit from the European Union, whether that's going to happen tomorrow. I never asked Paul Coit if he's going to vote. I assume he's going to vote. Everybody's going to vote, right?
He should vote.
I'm voting.
You can't vote.
I can vote.
Well, you did pass the British citizenship test.
Only one on the show. You all failed.
No, we didn't fail.
All of you failed. Every one of you failed except me. Now, I can talk to the Queen. I can get you guys in.
Why don't you book her?
The Queen?
Yeah.
She can get her anytime as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the reestablishment, the reunion of us, only happens if Trump wins.
Oh, right.
Right, yes. Yeah. Trump, by the way, says he's going to self-fund his campaign, so that's all done now. He's just going to write a check for it. So far, he's only loaned money to his campaign. He expects it to be paid back. He's taken a salary for running for president, and several of his own companies have taken up to 20% of the money from the campaign.
Yeah, I can't quite figure that out.
I have an idea of what it is.
Did you see the list of all of them, too? How much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
A lot.
Yeah, and most of it's been spread around to his upscale golf courses and country clubs.
Hmm.
Oh, and his plane.
Yeah. Right.
So he's going to make a speech. I think it's today. Is it today or tomorrow where he answers Hillary's speech from yesterday?
This is the crooked Hillary speech.
Is that today?
I think it's today. Yeah.
Hillary's speech yesterday was not great. I mean, it was fine, but she continues to be a really bad candidate. And, if anybody with a pulse and didn't have the negatives Hillary had was running, Trump would be a distant memory by now. But she continues to lead. The question is, by how much? The money's a big deal because you have to be able to advertise in states all over the country simultaneously. It's not like a Super Tuesday thing where 15 states are going at one time. We have one election day now, and leading up to that election day, you somehow have to figure out a way to control all 50 states, or at least the states where you may or may not have an electoral advantage. You have to have money. It's insane that we created a system where it costs more than $1 billion to win the presidency.
Well, yeah, did you hear Brady yesterday said, well, they have to raise $1 billion. You just have to. That's kind of the new magic number.
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. And but Trump's not wrong about that. You know, and if Trump could figure out a way to do it for... Oh, I don't know, 200 million? It's funny that 200 million seems like it's on sale. But for 200 million, that'd be swell. But he's not going to get the free press he got through the primary period because he continues to call the media cheaters and liars. And at some point, it's just not that cute anymore, so the media is not going to give him all the free pub that he's gotten before. And as I said a couple of times in the past week or so, that people at CNN have told me he calls every morning. He or his people call. So you get a call in the control room. You go, yeah, it's Don. Put me on.
You need me?
Yeah, and he's not getting the instant access that he had gotten before. Same thing goes for today and for Good Morning America.
Did you see the thing about the swing states where he only has 30 paid staffers in those states?
He has a total staff that's about 10% of the size of Hillary Clinton's.
Now,
the staff that you have is important because you got to pump out the digital data. You got to collect the data. You got to figure out where you're going to focus your efforts. You got to buy the time. You got to do all those things. Some of that is done by companies like Eric Edelstein's company.
Mm-hmm.
Eric will be in here tomorrow. And Brady's people do that a little bit as well. You know, you have people that manage that process for you, but he's done so little of that that the guy that looks like Elvis that runs his campaign.
I love how you call him that.
Well, that's what he looks like. The guy that looks like Elvis is now going to try to staff him up for a campaign. But who's going to pay for the campaign?
Well, he says he is. He says he is.
We shouldn't doubt him.
Right? I do agree with you, though. You know, I think we're to a point in the election, and this will never happen. But when they give speeches, like the one Hillary gave yesterday, quit focusing on Donald won't do this, and Hillary is crooked, and she won't do this. It's not going to happen. But just focus on what you're going to do as the candidate.
I say it every
Lay
4 years.
Lay out a platform.
I say it every 4 years. It's the most important job interview ever. And if you sat down for a job interview, and you spent your entire time with the interviewee or the interviewer and told him, well, the reason you ought to hire me is because the other guy sucks.
Right.
You'd never get a job.
Like me trying to convince you that, you know, I'm better than, that Mark Carman shouldn't have the job as opposed to me.
Yeah, like if Mark Carman does what he did the other day where he calls me up and he goes, and it's old, you got to move him out. And give me a shot.
But that worked.
Yeah, we'll just for today.
I didn't say old. I said other things.
Yeah.
Elderly?
I would never, I'm not an ageist.
So here's the thing. If Trump loses, and it certainly looks like he will, even though we're months out here, he's done several things that are really important here. One is to show that a chunk of the country was being ignored by the political process. That has to wake some people up. He also pointed out that the system, in the primary system, and how we nominate candidates is a complete scam.
Mm-hmm.
The superdelegate thing that shut Bernie out is ridiculous. Even though Bernie Sanders' ideas are not viable at all, the fact that he could not win and he was mathematically eliminated essentially on day one because of the Democrat superdelegate scam, that's a big deal. You know, Trump's presence pointed that out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Bernie, it was Trump. So I'm giving Trump credit here. Look at me.
Oh my gosh, and it's only 6:16. Holy cow.
And Trump pointing out that you shouldn't spend $1 billion to run for president, that's an important point too.
So it gives everybody basically a history lesson.
That's why I'm supporting Donald Trump. And
oh, okay.
What?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I think Donald Trump has said he's qualified to be president because of his business record. A few days ago, he said, and I quote, "I'm going to do for the country what I did for my business." So let's take a look at what he did for his business. He's written a lot of books about business. They all seem to end at chapter 11.
Hey, hey!
That was Hillary's big laugh line of the day. It's actually a decent joke. But my rule for all candidates, don't be funny. Don't be funny. Don't try to be funny. If you have an urge to be funny, stop it. Lie down. Wait till it passes. 6:22 now. Mark Carman's here. So, Mark, what do you do with your day? Because you're shiftless. You seem to bounce from town to town. You're kind of a drifter.
That's kind of in my face right now, the way you put it that way, Steve. I'm at a website during the week by the name of fansided.com.
Steve. Fansided. I've heard of Fansided.
Yeah. We're a growing entity.
Are you a startup?
I wouldn't call it a startup.
So you're an already going?
Well, it's been acquired by Time, Inc., so at that point, I think you're, like, officially something.
What do you do at Fansided?
I shoot lots of videos. Like, if you gave me a topic, I'd stand up in front of a camera right now and speak for 45 seconds to a minute. And
just riff
something.
On something?
Yeah.
Something in sports?
Yeah. So
and then I'm expected to click on that because I'm fascinated by your view?
Yeah, because you don't really want to read what's on the page. You just want to have somebody tell it to you.
See, this is interesting to me. I'm exactly the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, when I go I want to be able to read. I read very quickly. So when I have some information I'm seeking, and it's always for the listeners because I'm a giver. When I do that, I don't want a video. I don't want a video because I don't need to see, now in your case I'd make an exception, but
Thank
I don't
you.
Need to see somebody explaining something to me. Just give me a paragraph on it.
But when you have the option of watching a Mark Carman, I'd watch that video.
Thanks, Andrew.
Well, I know you would because you have a thing for him.
Back at you.
I'd watch it because you're my friend and you need my support.
True, I do.
But do you actually write things as well?
Try not to. Little bullet.
Hey, there's a lesson for the kids. Try not to write. Just use the camera.
Well, it's more opinion, right? I mean, I'm not actually giving you the Cubs beat the Cards 4-3. I'm gonna tell you why in the world Matt Caesar would be at the plate with two on and two out in the ninth, and how Joe Maddon's just not doing his job properly. I mean, none of that, by the way, but that's just what happens right off the top.
I was going to say, I already lost interest.
Yeah. Or he could speak to maybe why Jake Arrieta is appearing naked.
That's interesting. I've been searching the internet by the second, looking for, you know, the first views here.
Yeah.
Channel 9's showing it every 14 seconds. Channel 9 keeps showing it over and over again. ESPN, the magazine, doing our naked issue.
Okay, I think it's called don't criticize their
the program, body.
Their programming.
The body issue.
The body issue.
Yes, the body issue. They asked me to appear in it again this year, and I said, listen, I did so much nudity in the 90s, I really can't do it anymore.
You want to have someone else get the opportunity.
Yeah, I want to share the wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say this, a couple of the shots are me.
Oh, are you like a body double? A
couple of the cutaways.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I think Draymond Green is in there, and that's me.
I thought so. You take a double take at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you would recognize it, obviously.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So this fan-sided thing, is this a good gig?
It's a good gig. It's a good gig. Yes, absolutely.
Do you want to kiss up to anybody over there?
Oh, Patrick Allen, Mike Dice, the Best Brothers. They're all in.
Where are the offices?
They are on the Wilson and Broadway Red Line stop area.
Okay. They're actually at the train station?
Yes. There's a coffee house that we turned into an office.
Wow, good for you.
It's a room of, you know, there's four seats, and we hang out.
But for people that love sports and love sports talk, you would recommend Fan Sided.
I would. I absolutely would. I'd also recommend The Beat Saturdays and Sundays on 720 WGN.
Nice. You actually got a plug in for here.
Right. And I also do a sidewalk show at night when I'm just walking aimlessly around if people just want to talk.
Oh, really? You're not looking for money? You're just lonely.
Right.
Yeah.
White Sox fans walking out of U.S. Cellular Field, I'm there.
Yeah.
Same thing at Wrigley.
It seems to make sense.
I'm here for the people, Steve.
Yes. And you were a landlord at one point. You had a couple of rental interests. You still do that as well?
I am. I am. Still do. Just got a bill for significant coin for, I swear he was just cutting the grass, but somehow that was $1,500.
What?
This could be a problem. Maybe you could perhaps loan me money too, Steve.
There's not a lawn.
Wait, what kind of grass is that?
There's not a lawn in the city that it should cost $1,500.
Sure. No, I mean,
well,
I
there's a particular kind of grass that would cost.
Yeah, I suppose. That's true. It shouldn't cost $1,500 to cut Soldier Field.
I mean, somebody moved out. I said, can you go over and check out the place and make sure it's okay? It's in Kansas City. I'm not around. Next thing you know,
you're in Kansas City. I got it.
I got a 10-page pamphlet with. I'm like, what did you do? The door didn't slide properly. Now we've got to have a whole new track. Or don't we understand?
Is this an apartment building or what is this?
This was a very affordable house that I purchased. I mean, super cheap. And put some dough in. I mean, like, you know.
You know, you don't need a slider. You could just put a curtain up and call it a door.
I mean, listen. We're
you
not...
might have seen Mark's reality show on the Home and Garden channel, HG. Is that what it's called? It's called Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time. And it's just Carmen. Carmen just sitting there with a video like he does at Fan-Sided going, what the hell was I thinking? And then crying.
It's my former neighbor, Pat Flemington. Give him a plug, too. Neighbor Pat, if you need a handyman in Kansas City.
All right. Well, we got listeners there as well.
Flemington?
Flemington.
Wow.
Well, that's the name he's using. Oh. I mean, obviously, he's going around the country and ripping people off.
Yeah, $1,500 to
he also goes,
cut the grass. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Hashtag the Flem. That's what I like to call him.
$1,500 to cut the grass.
I should have brought in the bill for you.
Yeah, you definitely should have.
Next time I'll do that.
You sure didn't say cultivate the grass?
There was a trash removal, a sliding door. I mean, Lou Manfredini would have had this done for $7.
Oh, please, totally.
But I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
You seem to me to be the kind of guy when you get a bill like that, you go, I don't like to fight with people.
Oh, yeah, no, that's money's on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see? Intervention 2.0.
I'm just going to send him a check. He's only $1,400 over what I should pay him.
Yeah,
I don't really want to argue with him.
Can my son have that gig?
You know, it's actually now in my face again that I had this guy move me because I didn't want to hire movers, was too lazy. The guy brought my stuff. Half of it was broke.
$1,500?
So here you go, another.
Was it another $1,500?
It wasn't cheap, whatever it
is
was.
Is everything from him $1,500?
That's what he does. He's a
$1,500 guy.
He's like the dollar store, only he's the $1,500 guy.
He put...
You know, everything he does is $1,500.
Everything Flemington does is $1,500.
He put in their normal labor rate, 35, minus 22. Where are you getting the normal labor rate from? Where does that come from?
So he gives you the friends and family discount,
right.
But he
right.
works extra hours to make up the difference.
Yeah, and he hires all his family too. They're all there.
Yeah,
but I love him. He's such a good man.
So keep giving him $1,500.
Sure, why not?
That's why you're up at this hour doing this show. It's 6:29. We'll come back, get the big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti appears with someone named Noonan Sunday nights. She also has a fine law firm. She'll be happy to help you and your criminality. How do the criminals get a hold of you, Karen?
Well, you can break out of the cell and call me at 312-332-7800. Or if you happen to have a computer somewhere, you can email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right. And you'll talk to people that aren't bad guys as well, right?
I do. Okay. I talk to everybody.
Hey, did you watch the OJ thing on ESPN, the 30 for 30?
I did not.
Should watch it. There's a lot of lawyer stuff in there that just will make your skin crawl. You know, there's a reason lawyer jokes exist all over the internet, and mostly it's your colleagues.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. No, I heard it's very good, and I do want to watch it.
All right, let's jump in with the most important thing is here. Why is Starbucks playing fast and loose with your latte?
Well, there's a class action lawsuit that just got certified, which means it's going forward. They're saying that they don't fill their lattes all the way up. And so, therefore, we have the tall, which is supposed to be 12 fluid ounces. Grande is supposed to be 16, and venti is supposed to be 20, and they don't even reach that amount. And therefore, it's a consumer fraud, they say. So now we're going to have a lawsuit that everyone can join who's ever had a latte and probably make about 30 cents.
Yeah, maybe you get a free latte. Now, here's the thing. I normally would go, who cares? And I don't even drink coffee. But considering the amount of money Starbucks makes and the profit margin they must make on every cup, why would they even play around with this?
Yeah, you would think they wouldn't do it. But think about it. If they can skim, no pun intended, a little bit of milk from every single cup that they sell, they save millions of dollars. And that is a consumer fraud. And again, that's not the biggest legal story in the world. But it is interesting that companies do that to save a little bit of money, and the consumer's the one that suffers. So, you know what? A lot of people are not fans of class action lawsuits, but I think they do good things. I think they keep companies on their toes and make them do what they're supposed to do.
If I was the guy that still runs Starbucks, the owner, the Captain Good Guy, what is his name? I can't think of his name. I would be all over my people and go, are you, this would be, I'd put out a memo in the subject line. The memo would be, are you freaking kidding me?
Howard Schultz.
Howard Schultz. Yeah. Fill the freaking cups.
I do agree with, I'm not going to sue, but I do agree with this. You get a latte and a good quarter off the top is foam or nothing. And then by the time it settles down, there's just coffee. But Dave Ennett taught me a secret about that. If you get a misto, it's the same thing as a latte with no foam.
So is that full, your misto?
My misto is usually full. Yeah.
I'd give them $1,500.
Yes, you would. You say you would just give them $1,500 and avoid the conflict. Sandberg, have you seen this?
I have seen it, and I just want to tell people, go somewhere else then. Get off Starbucks, bugs back. But I just got a...
Well, why should Starbucks get away with it?
Yeah.
They shouldn't get away with it.
Paid $5 for a cup of coffee,
fill
it to the top.
Fill the friggin' cup. Yeah. That should be their new slogan. Starbucks, we fill the friggin' cup.
You know what I would like them? When I say, can I get my blonde roast with a little bit of room? Don't fill it to the top so I can actually not... So I can put my milk in because
But
they
if you order it that way, that's different than if you just pay the money and you don't.
But I'm usually against class action lawsuits. However, yesterday I got a $14.73 credit from Amazon because of somebody doing some type of online book. They did a lawsuit of people.
Oh, and you won $14.
I got $14.73.
Hey, Conti. Sandberg won $14.
Yeah, everybody got it because we were all part of something. If you bought an online book, you got this.
The legal term is you're part of the class.
That's who's making the Starbucks run this morning.
Man. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, right. She's
14 got bucks. That'll get you two.
Well, no, I can only use it on my Amazon account, so I ordered something on Prime.
Carmen?
You should have sent it to Fleming or Flemish or whatever the hell his friend's name is.
Here you go, Mary.
All right, so Starbucks, if you want to be in this lawsuit, it's too late, right? It's already been filed?
No, they they then will send out notices, and they'll put notices in the newspaper that anyone who has bought a latte can join the class
action. It's like everybody in America.
I'm joining this.
Then you can join, and then at the end of it, you probably will get, you're right, a free latte or a few cents, and the lawyers will make a ton of money.
Yeah. Again, Starbucks' new slogan, fill the friggin' cup. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the Supreme Court decision to let that Connecticut gun law stand, banning some assault weapons, and if you think it'll last the long term. Now that the Supreme Court said yes, I don't know whether legal recourse anybody has, but you can explain it to me. And is Disney on the hook for this terrible story, you know, of the alligator and the little boy? Unfortunately, the little boy's okay, and all that. So we'll get to that and some other stuff. And if you have a text question, we might slip that in as well. 312-981-7200 with Karen Conti. Again, Karen, number at the office is
312-332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
Karen Conti joins me again. 6:50 in the morning on the Steve Cochran Show. All right, Karen, so when it comes to the kid in the zoo, thankfully the kid's okay. The family said they weren't going to take any legal action. But then you leap forward from Cincinnati and end up with this alligator incident where this little boy is taken and drowned by the alligator. So what's Disney's liability here? They didn't have any signs up that said alligators present, that type of thing. They're on a hook, I guess, right?
Well, you know, the difference between the two is kind of interesting because at a zoo, these animals are not indigenous. So there's a control factor. The zoo has control over these wild animals that they brought into a place. They've, you know, basically, you know, set up rules and set up cages and things to keep people safe. And if they don't do it appropriately, they can be on the hook. Here, these are alligators that are, you know, indigenous to the area. And here's their liability. I mean, basically, the question is, did they create an unreasonable risk of physical harm? And if they know people are coming from all over the world, people who may have no idea about alligators in Florida, and they see those signs, even those signs probably don't mean anything, especially to children. Don't feed the alligators. There's alligators here. Don't wade in the water. It could be a danger. Well, you know, again, we know that we should follow rules. We should follow signs, but most people don't. And so the question is, do they have some obligation to cage in or fence in those waterways, or to just direct people away from those areas so that kids aren't wading in there? So the question is, will there be a lawsuit? My guess, there probably will be. I think parents, it's not that they want the money. No one's going to bring their child back. But I think that parents kind of feel responsible for changing the law or changing, you know, the safety factors here so that this wouldn't happen again to another child. So well, I think there is a lawsuit. I think there might very well be.
Here's the thing. As a father, you get up every morning and you think, well, the one thing I got to get right today is I got to take care of my family and protect my kids. This father in this case, and I'm not minimizing what the mother's gone through or the big sister either, but this father dives in the water. He has his hands on the gator. He's trying to save his child, and he can't. I don't know how he gets up in the morning. And it's not like he failed. He did everything he could, but any father listening to me knows the emotion I'm talking about. I don't know how he does anything but cry. I don't know how he does anything. I don't know how he puts one foot in front of the other. It's an incredible thing. You talk about pain and suffering. And you couple that with the fact that there's 1.5 million gators estimated in Florida. So what does Disney do? Fill in all the water they have on their property? I mean, this is an insane problem. But now, you know, if I've got little kids in a world of overprotecting little kids, I wouldn't let them near the water. I don't care if it's noon.
I mean, I agree. It's a serious problem. And again, when you have, you know, millions of people to your resorts and you have all these people from all over who may not even read English, you know, and be able to read the signs to stay away, you really have to protect them. And the laws on hotels, it's a heightened standard. I mean, you really have to protect people when you are a hotel owner. So I think we're going to see changes by Disney. I think that if there is a lawsuit, it's going to be very relevant as to these things happened before. Were there incidents involving a near miss? did Disney have knowledge and could they have done something? And the answer is probably going to be yes, they could have done something. That would be my guess. And my guess is they're going to really change their policies.
Karen, kind of on a smaller level too, well, maybe not so much, but and not to minimize the severity of what happened, but I see these no swimming signs all along the lakefront. No swimming, no diving along the bike path. Kids are always jumping in. They're always swimming. So even if you post a sign, could you still be held liable?
Sure. You know, for the reasons I said, kids don't always read. Kids don't always read English. I mean, I would imagine you have every country of the world represented at Disney World. And children don't obey signs. These are what we call attractive nuisances. That's a legal term for something that children are attracted to and are going to, abuse probably. And as a hotel owner, you have to assume that. You have to assume that if there's something that attracts children, that they're not going to follow the rules. That's just the nature of children. And again, I don't know from a wildlife standpoint how you stop alligators from coming into these waterways or barricade them in, but that's probably what they're going to do.
The other story that's huge this week, obviously, is in the wake of Orlando, is the four pieces of gun legislation that, not surprisingly, but sadly, the Senate voted down. Supreme Court backed up Senator Christopher Murphy in one regard because they let stand this limited assault weapon ban that goes on in Connecticut. So what, does the NRA try to do something now? Or what can he do if the Supreme Court says, no, it's fine?
Well, the Supreme Court didn't actually say, no, it's fine. The Supreme Court chose not to accept the case from Connecticut. So Connecticut's where Sandy Hook happened. They almost immediately passed some sort of ban. It was on some assault rifles and high capacity magazines. And it was up to the Supreme Court by some of the gun activists, and the Supreme Court declined to take it. But they don't really take many cases. They take about 1 in 100 every year. So they didn't take it, which doesn't really mean that they approve of a gun ban. They just didn't find it to be important enough for them to take. So I guess it's a backdoor way of saying the Supreme Court said, yeah, you can make some limitations on guns. But Scalia said that in his opinion several years ago. He said, yes, we have a right under the Second Amendment to have guns, but that's not unlimited. And there can be limitations on where you can have them, what kind you can have. He said that in the opinion. So this isn't surprising. And I think it does help the people who want to limit guns, but it's really not the Supreme Court putting the rubber stamp on.
Well, the great perversion of what the Founding Fathers meant in the Second Amendment, you can argue all day of what they meant or what they didn't mean. They certainly didn't mean that assault weapons were okay. They certainly didn't mean that we shouldn't try to stop people with AR-15s from killing 49 people in a club. No, it's idiotic. It's idiotic, and it's embarrassing.
Our Constitution has amazingly stretched and contracted with all of the things that happen in the world. Computers, I mean, the Founding Fathers would have no idea what we'd be up against at this point. But, it's amazing how the Constitution has really worked well. But you're right, this is nothing that you could possibly imagine. Back in those days, everyone had a gun, they hunted. This was not, there was a real possibility of the government taking over, and then I think there's still people who think that might happen. But no, you're right, it's not something that they could have imagined. And then we just have to just really put ourselves back into their shoes and say, what would they have done had we been in this situation then?
I will tell you this, if you're seriously considering defending yourself against the government in your imaginary scenario where the government's taking over, I like the chances of their drone strike versus your pistol. I'm just saying. Hey, enjoy the day.
You too.
Karen Conti, attorney at law. Some heavy topics. 6:57, back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
Live from Brocast, downtown Chicago in Brocast, Illinois. Elise Glink set to join us in just a second. We'll also check back in with Tim at Channel 9 about the dangerous weather that we're expecting, or at least the threat of the same this afternoon. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, other than the fact that we're broke, we have no money, we're fine. Everything's great.
Hey, there's still Donald Trump.
Let's go backwards here and tell people what we're going to set up, because I got to jump to weather and then I want to come back and hit this with you.
We're going to talk about tomorrow is the big vote in Britain. They are voting on Brexit, otherwise known as Britain leaving the European Union.
Right, the British exit, and what it's going to do economically, not just to them and to Europe, but to us.
Right.
Because really, isn't it all about us?
It is.
And
about me, to be really specific, but yes.
But the larger one would be us. And then June 30th, because of no budget in the state, we now know that all state construction projects on roads and bridges and things of that nature will be shut down. And some projects will be scrapped that have been started, which will cost even more, millions and millions and millions of dollars, which is great. It's terrific. Terrific. Everything's being run. So we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. But again, the British exit from the European Union, the latest polls, what are you seeing?
It's exactly tied. It's a little bit like a presidential election race here in the United States. It's about, at the moment, it seems like it's 50.5 to 49.5 for staying with the European Union. But this is uncertain completely, and the markets are bracing for trouble.
All right, stand by. More with Elise Glink in just a moment. And we'll check your weather here in just a second, because I want people to understand that, you know, we may be in for something this afternoon. This is not just, you know, running around going, ooh, look at the sky. A thunderstorm might be coming. This looks like serious weather that could be happening at any given time.
High winds, too.
Sometime after 1 o'clock with some tornado outbreaks possible. Anytime you get, and I know this, why? Well, because I was the weatherman and grumpy old men, the first one. But anytime you get significantly hot weather that's followed up by weather that's not so significantly hot, the atmosphere goes crazy. Am I right, Tim, or am I right? We have Tim?
Hello?
Timmy?
Good morning.
Timmy.
Hey,
hello,
Steve.
Timmy.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. So I was just starting to explain the weather. Thank God an actual weatherman showed up. So what is your concern level of threat for the storms to be dangerous to the rest of us this afternoon?
Fairly high. You know, we don't see these moderate risk areas all that often here. This is issued by the Storm Prediction Center out of Norman, Oklahoma. The highest risk they ever issue is a high risk, and that comes maybe once a year. So moderate risk isn't quite as rare, but it's fairly rare. So I think the biggest threat from these storms, Steve, I think the timing-wise, if they occur between around 6 o'clock this evening, maybe 10:30 tonight, and we're looking at the possibility, probably overall the biggest threat with these storms is going to be damaging winds. So winds in excess of 58 miles an hour. Could also see some large hail with some of these storms. And then also an isolated tornado or two possible. And we're kind of in the bullseye of this moderate risk area. So everything converging. We've got a warm front lifting north. Very warm, humid air south of the front. It's going to get up near 100 in St. Louis today. And we've got an upper-level jet stream that's pretty powerful for June to help kind of lift and help these storms explode later on this afternoon. So this first round of rain you're seeing right now, nothing severe. It's all been staying south of us. The severe stuff this morning had a couple of bigger storms down near Champaign and Bloomington. But we're just kind of on the more stable part of things so far. But that's going to change later on today. We'll get the really unstable air mass, and that's the concern, is late this afternoon, early tonight.
So we're talking about after 1 till when?
After 1, I think we're going to get kind of a lull, really, between just around midday up through about 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. But then after that, anytime between 5, 6 o'clock, say 10:30 tonight or so, at least that's what the timing looks like right now. We could see some pretty powerful storms, and worst-case scenario, a few tornadoes even possible.
All right, so obviously rush hour is going to be delightful, but what about air travel? Do the airlines look at this type of a forecast and adjust now, or do they wait and see what happens?
I think a little bit of both, but I think it'll definitely impact air travel at O'Hare and Midway later on tonight for sure.
All right, bud. Appreciate the extra help.
Sure, no problem.
Elise Glink standing by. All right, so you know what the Brexit is, the British exit from the European Union, if the vote goes that way tomorrow. Economically, what does it mean?
You know, it's interesting. It's a little bit like the isolationist movement of the United States from way back when, where Britain is thinking, so the people who want to leave think they're going to be able to have free trade all over the world. They're not going to be tied to the European Union rules about trade, that they're not going to have to deal with the immigration stuff. I think a lot of this is the immigration stuff is really fueling this. And they think they're just going to be able to kind of go it alone. And what's really frightening is just how interconnected we all are around the world now, financially and the trading. And we saw this with our own housing crisis, where Iceland took a really huge hit even before we did. everything's pretty interconnected. So the traders are very much worried that this might actually flip over into an exit vote and the referendum would go through. And this is the second big referendum we've seen out of Britain in the last 2 years. Last year, Scotland narrowly voted to stay with Britain or, you know, England. And now this year we have let's leave the European Union. So there's a lot of concern that actually this might go through.
So to the American economy, is there any way to tell what the impact will be, or is it too soon?
Britain is not a huge trading partner with us. I mean, it's a big trading partner, don't get me wrong, but it's not China. It's not Japan. So, you know, it's a little bit down. I don't think that anything would happen there, except perhaps it would become slightly more expensive to go to Britain, any more than it is right now. But I think we could still import Bird's custard mix at a fairly reasonable price.
Right. You can get bad food from there anytime.
They do have good chocolate-covered biscuits, Hobbs. They're my favorite from when I used to live there.
Biscuits are cookies in that parlance, by the way.
Correct.
All right. So if we don't have to be immediately worried about our economy, you do have to worry about, as you said, the interconnectivity of the economy. So last question is this. Are the British people nuts to vote to leave the EU?
You know, it's an interesting division. So according to one analysis, they interviewed 30,000 Britons, and what they found is that the people who are voting to leave the EU tend to have left school before their 17th birthday. They don't have academic qualifications, nothing advanced. They're over 55. They work in less secure, low-income jobs. And those who want to stay with the EU are younger, more educated, and have more financially secure and professional jobs. And that kind of division is what we're seeing right here in the United States. So, and they're also having a problem with their middle class. It's just interesting to see these problems replicated all over the world. And what it's going to mean to the stock market is, at least temporarily, we're going to have a very volatile stock market.
All right. We will keep an eye on it, because you will keep an eye on it. And then we'll call you and go explain it to us. It's Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. Thanks. Have a great day.
See ya.
7:20. And Toni Preckwinkle joins us next. She is jumping into the gun argument.
Yep.
She's got some important things to say after this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Now, more than ever, your city needs you. It's no secret that Chicago has too many people on the streets willing to use a gun to solve a disagreement while being undeterred by the relaxed penalties that they may receive in court for their crimes.
Yes, you're there to reduce crime and cut down on gun violence. But your job today also requires you to build friendships, to build relationships. You have to do both, because trust is so important.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Superintendent Eddie Johnson yesterday, graduation day for 100 new cops on the streets. Is that enough? Toni Preckwinkle spoke at Stroger Hospital amongst a group of others as well, and once this declared as a public, it is declaring this is a public health crisis. President of Cook County Board joins us now. Good morning, Toni Preckwinkle. How are you?
Good morning.
Can you explain to folks why it's important to label it this way?
Well, I think that the American Medical Association last week, after having a consistent position that we needed stricter gun control laws in this country, said that the level of gun violence in this country constituted a public health crisis. And I was grateful for their declaration and definition, because it's surely the way I feel.
But am I right about this? Doesn't this take it to another level where you can push for simple things that, well, I shouldn't say simple, they ought to be simple, like deep research into gun violence in the country, which triggers other things? All these dominoes that need to fall politically are important. And that's why people coming out like you have done to say this is a public health crisis is a big deal.
Well, one of the things that happened in the last couple decades is that the Center for Disease Control, which is our national institute for research and health policy, was prohibited from looking into gun violence as a research subject. And, you know, I have heard Dr. Jay Shannon, who's chief executive officer of our health and hospital system, compare what's happened in terms of auto accidents in this country and then gun violence. We've done a lot of research about automobiles and what makes them safe and how we can keep passengers from being injured or killed in crashes. And the result is that we've seen a dramatic reduction in the number of people who die in this country in automobile accidents, because we have seatbelts, because we have restraints in automobiles, because we build them differently, and so on. Well, on the gun violence side, what we've seen is a dramatic increase over time in the number of people shot and killed. And we've done no research on how we can make guns more safe, what factors lead to gun violence, how we can mitigate it, how we can prevent it. And it seems to me that it'd be very helpful in that arena to do research in the same way it was helpful to do research about how to make automobiles safer.
Good morning, President. By declaring this a health crisis, will that allow the county to perhaps get some state or federal funding to help with the research?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It hopefully will encourage Congress to change the rules so that the Centers for Disease Control funds and supports this kind of research. But that's no guarantee that there'll be any research that's done here in Chicago. No, it's the larger question that concerns us. That is, declaring it a health crisis and then doing research into what we can do to reduce the levels of gun violence in this country.
Yeah, and with the House being the funding body in Congress, the ones that decide that the money's going to come, you can't put the pressure on the House without significant amounts of research to back it up, that you can have people go in and go, this is why we need to have simple laws on the books that protect domestic violence victims and deal with the terror watch list and all the other tenets of this that are just common sense things. Again, the thing that the guest is Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. The thing that I really want people to hear is we can all be supporters of the Second Amendment, and the 99.9% of legal gun owners in this country aren't the problem. And none of these solutions are going to instantly fix anything overnight. So let's take all of that off the table, but let's do something. That's all we're talking about here.
Yes, and I think, beginning with doing research, which hopefully will inform intelligent decision making. So that's where we're starting.
This is the type of thing, too, where we could insist, we could ask that people contact their elected reps about this as well. It's never been more important for people to let their elected reps know how they feel about this stuff. And even though you feel like the system is broken and you can't do anything about it, I'm here to tell you that you can. And those in Springfield and those in Washington that you know, when they hear from constituents, they hear, right?
Well, yes. I always paid attention when I was alderman to my phone calls and the people who came in to talk to me about issues, and it's surely true as president of the county. It's very important for elected officials to hear from their constituents about the issues that they care about.
And I'm glad this label is on it, too. I like your comparison yesterday, President, when you liken this to, we would do research for alcoholism or anything of that sort, too. This is a health crisis, the gun violence in Chicago and Cook County.
We've had, up to this point, 322 murders by guns in Cook County, 322. That's a 50% increase over last year. Last year at this time, that number was 214. This is a disaster for not just the immediate families of the victims, but for the entire communities in which they live, many of which are virtual war zones. I was a teacher. And my first full year of teaching, one of my students happened to be sitting on her porch and was struck by a stray bullet and killed. That had an impact on not just her immediate family, but all of us who were her teachers, her classmates, people who she went to school with. 4 years later, the yearbook was dedicated to her memory. The ripple effects of the gun violence impact many, many, many people. And, the levels of post-traumatic stress in many of the communities in which there's so much violence are just tremendous, because people know folks who've been shot, who've been killed, friends, classmates, family members. It's just a nightmare.
It truly is, and that's an amazing number that you cited, 50% increase in Cook County gun deaths this year. We're not even halfway through the year.
50% over last year. Last year at this time, it was 214, and now it's 322 this year.
Strozier Hospital, the county hospital, treated about 900 gun violence victims last year. That's one hospital.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we have a world-class trauma center. So police officers and ambulance drivers know to bring, if they're at all if they're all nearby, to bring gunshot victims to Strozier, because we're so very good at treating people. And unfortunately, one of the reasons we're so very, very good is we have so many people who we have treated, and therefore we've gotten very good by virtue of lots of practice.
Last question for you, Tony Preckwinkle. 100 guns were taken off the street on Father's Day weekend, which is great. Some semi-automatics, but community organizations and gun buyback events, we've had 4,000-plus guns removed from the streets this year. Do those continue, or do they need to be helped in some way to be funded or publicized, these gun buyback things? How do those operate?
Well, I think they're a great idea, but you have to remember, in addition to the buybacks, the police department in the city of Chicago, according to the superintendent, who I heard speak earlier this week, confiscated more guns than Los Angeles police and New York police officers combined.
Wow.
So the volume of guns on our streets is just astronomical, even in comparison to other big cities, as I said, like Los Angeles and New York. And that's a function of very lax gun laws in the states around us, and the fact that Illinois residents can go into these other states, you know, load up their trucks with guns without restrictions, and then come and sell them on the streets of Chicago.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for the work you continue to do in this, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Quick break, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The United Kingdom, birthplace of the Beatles, and yet very much the world's Ringo. You may not have heard about this referendum unless you watch financial networks. A Brexit or British exit doesn't sound scary. It just sounds like a granola bar you buy at the airport. Hey, this tastes like a preserved owl pellet. I'm going to Cinnabon. You push me into it.
This is the official anthem for Paul Coit's appearances on the program. I was torn yesterday. I thought, well, we can get somebody who does a good British accent, or we can get Paul Coit. And I thought they're both going to be equally informed. But, sometimes I forget that my friend Paul Coit, he's a responsible man now. It's not like when I knew him when he was younger, when he was nothing but trouble. No, he's got two beautiful kids, beautiful wife, big job. So why not ask him about the Brexit? Good morning, live from London, my friend Paul.
Steve, I don't know whether I'm in, I don't know whether I'm out, I just need more time. And it's running out, and it's beginning to worry me.
You have to vote tomorrow. So let's start with when you joined the European Union. Were you in favor of that idea or against it when it happened?
Well, this is going back a long time. So with the common market, which is about 1973... But in that time, there was only four countries in the whole of Europe when that happened. Whereas now, there's over 157.
So yeah, I think back then there was Germanlandia, there was England World, and there was a couple others. That was it.
Mexico and us. And that was it. And that was all there was. And now, there's so many anias, you wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know where to start. So it's a very tricky situation, and we're not sure whether, there was a lot of time spent whether it was actually going to be called Brexit or Uckexit, which kind of doesn't work. So just trying to find the name we spent a lot of time on.
Well, now that you have the adorable name, yes. People that you're friends with, parents of younger children, things of that nature, what are they saying? They're going to vote for it or against it?
A mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. See, the thing is, there's a lot of people complaining. It's just like a normal election. You get people on both sides. There's a lot of scaremongering going on.
Yeah.
But if you leave, this is going to happen, and then we'll take your firstborn child, and then your house will be knocked down, and then the whole country will be on fire. And then you got the other one saying, yeah, but if you stay, then what's going to happen? Every person from any country ending in ania will then come and live in your house. So everybody's just walking around scared all the time, just trying to find out which one is true.
So the unlimited immigration thing, that's what people are most concerned about.
Yeah, that's what you've got. That's where you've got your exit people, the leave people. That's what they're focusing on. Where you've got the stays are saying, yeah, but that wouldn't make any difference. It's all about the economy. It's all about the economy. Nobody's going to spend any time with us. Nobody's going to want to do any deals with us. We're just going to be out on a limb, and it'll be a disaster. So more scaremongering from both sides. And it's so close to call. Still, nobody can actually say whether it's going to go one way or the other.
Now, if it actually happens, what does that mean for British leadership? Does that mean you're going to get a change at the top of the government?
Well, this is one of the theories, is that you've got Boris Johnson. Now, are you familiar with Boris Johnson?
Yeah, he's a guy that has, like, Pete Rose's haircut. Pete Rose, famous baseball player here. Pete Rose's haircut, former mayor of London.
Yeah, just this crazy hair, and it just talks like this, and he just seems like your typical bumbling British idiot. So he was the mayor of London, and he's no longer the mayor of London, and now there's always been talk around him for the past couple of years saying, here's a guy that wants to be prime minister. Interestingly, he's now the one that's saying, we have to leave. You've got the prime minister and most major political figures are saying we should stay. So if it's leave, you know, it's pretty much going to leave the prime minister's position untenable. He's going to have to go, and who do you think would be interested in stepping into his shoes? So whether, and also interestingly, Boris Johnson a couple of years ago had said that he was for being in Europe, whereas now he's changed his view. So whether there's ulterior motives going on, you be the judge.
Well, that's a very American view to do that. You know, that's what we do here. Hillary Clinton's changed her views 47 times. Trump can't even remember his last lie, let alone the one he's going to tell today. So, you know, it's good to see that your folks are going that way as well. All right, so where will you vote tomorrow?
What would I vote for?
No, where will you vote? Is there a local voting place you go to?
There is. It's just a little local voting place, a little school down the road where you go in, you just put your little cross, and you have the little booths. And you stand in your booth and you make your decision. Is that pretty much how it works with you? You just put your cross next to it and that's it?
No, we actually, you go in and you have to fill in a circle with a pen. It's totally different here.
Oh, dear. See, because the thing is, the circle has to join. See, we don't have to do that because joining the circle is always a bit tricky. And whereas joining a circle is pretty much what all this thing is.
And what was the thing we had to do, Andrea, where you had to connect a line?
Oh, yeah. It's almost as though there's an arrow, Paul, and there's the top part of the arrow and the back part of the arrow, and you have to take the felt tip pen and connect the two sides. It's very archaic.
Oh, that is very... But that must be tricky to do, though, isn't it?
No, it's totally tricky.
With a steady hand?
You have to have a steady hand. Definitely. Yeah.
So much at stake. No, you know, you've got to be able to do something with a shaky hand.
If you got a bad hangover, don't vote. You know, because you could vote for anybody.
Or slight anxiety about what's going on. Yeah. We heard that Donald Trump wants us to leave, which is actually making a lot of Britons, therefore, actually decide to stay. So that may help the stay campaign.
It's great to see Trump having international impact.
He is. He's there. Oh, yeah.
That's tremendous.
Stuff about his wind turbines on that Scottish golf club, I think, still upset him. So that's probably why.
Yeah, it's a true story. All right, you voting to stay or go?
You know what? And I'll be honest with you. At first, as typical Brits, we just think, well, how dare they tell us what to do? Do they know that we used to have an empire with
right.
We're that? We have to stay. And then when you look at the reality, you think, well, maybe we're not what we used to be. We don't have an empire anymore, although many people still believe in their minds, like me, that we actually do, and that we don't really like Europeans very much, so we have to leave. But I've decided I am going to stay.
You're staying in the European Union. I think it's a good decision.
I think it's a good decision, Paul. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Listen, thank you for the update and the education, and thanks for, again, using your fake British accent.
Always a pleasure. Hurrah, hurrah.
Say goodbye like an American would.
Oh, goodbye. I mean, having enough of this stupid accent, let me get go and vote for Finland or whoever crazy European country it is.
It's like a totally different person.
I love what he does, the American. .755, Steve Cochran Show continues. Man, it is busy, busy, busy today. Here's stories we haven't had a chance to get to. You want to go to Disney and ride the Frozen ride? Ask me how long the wait is.
Oh, I heard how long. It was crazy long.
5 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours. I don't even understand how that works. You got a 3-year-old, they're not going to wait 5 minutes.
No, not at all. Are you kidding? And how long's the ride? Isn't it like a minute and a half?
Couple of minutes, yeah.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Who waits 5 hours for a ride?
Frozen fans.
Got to get the fast pass.
But does that matter in this case? I guess it does.
I think it does, yeah.
Here's a cool father-son story. A little boy, brain surgery for a brain tumor. And he had sort of a like a fishhook shaped scar on the side of his head. Mm-hmm. His father had a shaved head as well. The father went out and had a tattoo in the exact shape of his son's scar.
Isn't that cool?
It's a cool story.
It is a neat story.
Yeah. Love of a dad. Are women smarter than men? There's a new survey that's out that says women are smarter than men.
Well, that's surprising.
Yeah, really? What's new about that?
We'll see if we can get to that survey coming up, but you know me. I'm an idiot. I'll probably forget. Congressman Steve King from Iowa, who's known for his very fair views, is trying to get a bill put forward to make sure that Harriet Tubman doesn't appear on the new $20 bill.
Okay. Why?
Does that part matter?
I mean, really?
KFC in parts of the Hispanic world has come up with a new way to charge your phone. The box that the chicken comes in has a plug for your phone that somehow charges your phone.
No way.
Yeah. The power of the grease? I don't know what it is.
They got to do something to get somebody to eat the chicken.
A Colonel's special recipe.
What are you talking about? KFC? KFC, people are still lining up for that, dude. Biggest fast food restaurant in China?
Come on.
I'm not kidding. And Michael Jackson, if you believe the authorities in San Bernardino and actually in other places as well, I think it might even be an FBI story, almost 7 years to the day that Michael Jackson died, news out today of a significant-sized porn collection, including naked images of children.
Oh, I want to hear that. That's terrible.
Well, you didn't hear it. You just heard the headline.
La, 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 la.
It's 7:57. Next hour on the program, Dean Richards will go over your entertainment. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're hoping to track down Tom Skilling to give you his view on the weather. Hey, you know the old coach that calls in and insults me that everybody loves?
Yeah, he doesn't like you.
No, I don't like me at all. The old coach, we think we found a way to use him because he'll call in and he'll insult me. And people call and they go, I love that guy. Have him back on. I don't know why, but they seem to really love him. So he's an old guy. And you know that hack bit this day in history that, all that hacks do?
Yeah.
I thought this day in history thing would be perfect for him because he's been alive for a long time. He could actually talk about those events.
Do you think it'll make him like you more?
I don't know. I don't know. But let's see if this works. It's the old coach standing by for today's This Day in History. Good morning, Coach.
Hello, Cochran.
How are you, Coach?
I'm okay. Excuse me, I got to clear my throat. I got phlegmstein in the back of it.
Got a little phlegm. Yeah, okay. All right, Coach, so this day in history, would you like to give us the first item?
Yeah, you sure you can handle it, Cochran?
I don't know. Why does this sound like a threat? This is just you. This is just you just giving us some historical information.
You know that people who are stupid are called Cochran?
That's not true. It's funny, but it's not true. All right, what's item number one?
Item number one, 1952. Bernstein, Copeland, and Seegers named communist.
Let me write that one down.
Okay. All right.
I write it down. They later on, I think they became Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that's
how they got their start singing it for the communistic people.
I didn't know that was true. All right, item number two.
Item number two, 1941, Germany launches Operation Barbarossa. That's when the Germans invaded Jane Fonda.
No, that's not true either.
These are facts, Cochran.
Okay, sorry. Why would I question you?
Is it true the only place you ever get invited to is outside?
You know what? I'm starting to agree with the listeners. This guy's pretty good. Item number three.
1876, General Santa Anna dies in Mexico. Like, where else he was going to die? He lived there.
I didn't actually think of that.
It was 1876. I was four.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And do you have one more insult of me before we run out of time?
Insults of you. Give me a break. I'm going to tell you something. The only reason I fart is to make you smell better.
Oh, he hates you.
He really does.
What did you do to him?
I have no idea. We'll come back and get your news next at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
All right, 8:14 now, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Let me give you the list, Dean, of things that you're going to be telling us about, so you might want to, you know, study up on these.
Hang on, let me get a pencil.
You're going to talk about the post-Hamilton ticket extravaganza yesterday.
Hamilton? What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell us about this terrible Michael Jackson story. Oof. You're going to talk about Ashton Kutcher taking on the city of Chicago.
He was on That 70s Show. He's perfectly qualified.
You're going to tell us what happened to Selma Blair and if she's okay now. You're going to talk about whatever Tony winner was added to NBC's Hairspray Live, though I've got to be honest with you, that's the least likely story I'm going to get to.
Kristen Chenoweth.
And you're going to talk about Uma Thurman. Now, let me just tell you about Uma Thurman. Have you ever met her?
I have.
I'm lucky enough in my life to be around beautiful women all the time. I mean, look at Mary and Andre and Sandberg around here.
Yep.
But over the years, I've known a lot of beautiful women. She is a woman in the room that would just stop the room.
Statuesque.
And so sexy and just so Uma. You know what I'm saying? She had a lot of Uma in her.
Not according to one horse, she wasn't.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
We're having a dance party in the studio, dude.
Get down.
No, I'll grant you, it's a really slow dance party.
Got to start slow. Got to build up to it.
The Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. All right, so all the Hamilton tickets are gone. You can't get one even if you know somebody.
No.
What?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No. many of them are gone. A lot of them are gone.
Oh, okay.
But there are still tickets available. After 1,000 people waited in line yesterday, a four-block-long line around the Private Bank Theater on Monroe Street yesterday, and ridiculous delays online, people trying to get through BroadwayInChicago.com and Ticketmaster, they would be online for like an hour and then get bumped off online, have to start over again. I mean, it really took a lot of patience. But a lot of people did get their tickets yesterday. Apparently, there may have been some scalping that also went on yesterday. There were more than one sightings of people outside the theater exchanging envelopes and money, which is often the sign of a nefarious transaction.
Nice job, Columbo. Figured that out, didn't you?
May be going on. Not that tricky to figure out. Within an hour of when the tickets went on sale, ticket broker sites were selling the tickets for 5, 10, 20 times their face value. The highest that I saw yesterday, somebody was selling two tickets, $10,000 apiece. I do not see that listing on that site this morning.
Well, it's because I bought them.
Because Steve bought them, yes. Apparently.
Seemed like a good price.
I did find some this morning, in case anyone is interested, for $6,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm. Not for long. Going to buy those, too.
All right. Steve is hoarding them all up. There are still tickets available. I've actually posted a calendar from Broadway in Chicago in which they have X'd out the dates that are now sold out. So it'll make the process a little bit easier if you're still interested in trying to purchase tickets today. At least you can see which dates are open and which ones are not. They tend to be weekdays. Early,
yeah, there's a Tuesday 8:45 a.m. show that I know is still available.
They are not maybe the best seats in the house, but there are seats in the house. There are a lot of single seats, you know, by themselves. Some of them are limited view. I know you love sitting behind a pillar.
I do. I like obstructed view. I paid $10,000 for that yesterday.
For an obstructed view. A lot of people don't like that. Steve happens to enjoy it. So that's what's available right now. But if you go to my Facebook page, I've got that calendar posted. Dean Richards, WGN on Facebook, and you can take a look at that.
Now, Dean and I have been working on our follow-up to Hamilton. It's called Millard.
Yep.
It's the story of President Millard Fillmore.
Yep.
And it opens with a show-stopping number called Mama Namie Millard.
And you guys rap it, right?
Well, no, the guy that we haven't cast it yet, but the guy that's going to play Millard Fillmore does Mama Name Me Millard.
Steve and I are having a conflict right now because I really would like to get a big cha-cha number in the show.
Well, I thought about that.
People are not cha-chaing anymore.
No, but I thought about that last night, and here's the compromise. We've got a cha-cha lined up for our second big tune, which is Let's Keep the White House White, which is, this is pre-slavery fixing days. So you could cha-cha to that. Can totally cha-cha out of that.
My name is Miller Fillmore.
That's what I'm talking about. John's going to do the choreography.
I want to keep the White House white. Two, three, four.
Because it's pre-Lincoln.
Ooh, yeah. I can cha-cha for you guys. It's 1, 2, cha-cha-cha.
You're in. Yeah. That's going to save us a lot of time in casting.
Thank goodness. I'm trying to bring the cha-cha back in a big way.
And then we're trying to figure this out, but we've got like this whole laser light thing, explosions, yep. Possibly a camel.
Roller skates. Camel on roller skates.
Yeah.
Not easy.
In the Fillmore Follies. It's just a working title now for a chunk of the show in Act 3. So it's coming together nicely, but it's Millard, the follow-up to Hamilton.
I think it's going to be big. People are going to be lined up around the block to get this one, too.
Actually, right now, people are lined up to keep us from going into production on this. All right, what's Ashton Kutcher about?
I just had a funny dream that you just said, let's keep the White House white. I think I had just hallucinated that.
No, it's a true story. It's pre-Lincoln. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Ashton Kutcher, why is he mad at Chicago?
He is mad because he has a financial interest in this Airbnb, the housing website.
Uh-huh.
And he's mad that the city council is, proposing ordinances to regulate this home sharing website. He wrote on Facebook that whenever he comes to Chicago, he prefers using the service because he likes what he is calling the authentic experience of staying in a person's home over, say, a five-star hotel.
I like Ashton Kutcher. But if Ashton Kutcher's coming to town and staying in Bob's bedroom, then that's his problem because Ashton Kutcher ought to be at the Peninsula. I mean, what is he doing?
Hey, you know what? They have good video games usually in Bob's bedrooms. They have things that they don't have at the Peninsula Hotel or some of your five-star hotels.
Well, you kids with your fancy schmancy startups, you kids with your Ubers and your Lyfts and things, you can't just have it all your way. There has to be some sort of responsibility to make things fair so people can, operate fairly in business.
Okay, Dad.
All right, so Selma Blair wigged out on a plane.
Golly, Wally, he just told me that we have to have regulations.
Selma Blair wigged out on a plane. What happened then?
Well, she wigged out on the plane. She had to be taken off by a stretcher. But yesterday she explained and kind of apologized for this public meltdown that she had. She admitted that she mixed prescription drugs with alcohol. She
me
said
too.
It caused me to black out, led me to say things and do that I deeply regret.
Me too.
You can hear it every morning from 5, 6 until 10.
Yep.
She apologized to the passengers and the crew. She apologized to her 4-year-old son, who was with her on the plane, and also his dad. She said the son was with the dad and not sitting with her. But that's going to, that's going to leave a scar on somebody when you see your mom taken off a plane on a stretcher, regardless whether you're sitting next to her or not. But she deeply regrets it all and said that she's a flawed human being. She apologizes. She made a mistake.
Well, we hope she's okay.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman had a fight with a horse?
Sort of. She was training a young horse. The horse got spooked, which, by the way, is another song in our Millard Fillmore.
The horse got spooked. That's a great song. Writing it down right now. The horse got spooked.
The horse got spooked.
I hear that one more up-tempo.
Yeah. All right. Well, still working on it. Yeah. She was riding the horse. The horse got spooked and threw her. She broke several bones in her voluptuous, beautiful body and was seen in St. Bart's, where all this took place. She's on vacation with her kids. They're hobbling around, the witness said, as though she had just had hip surgery.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. So we wish her the very best.
Too bad. And then there's this terrible Michael Jackson story. It's 7 years, almost to the day of when
Saturday.
He died.
Yeah, Saturday's the anniversary.
And the Jackson family has come out with this story and said, well, it's just they're timing it to the anniversary and none of it's true. But this comes from cops, right?
This is coming from the official sheriff's department. This is according to Radar Online, the website. But they are claiming that they have official sheriff's department reports and photos from a raid that took place on Jackson's Neverland Ranch. And the detail that they describe of some of the photographs and the movies of this child pornography, alleged child pornography collection, is literally, it makes you sick. It's pictures of nude children, semi-nude children, pictures of naked adults with children's faces pasted on the nude adults. I mean, just the whole thing is so weird and so sick. And the sheriff's office said that some of the documents appear to be copies of reports that were handed over to attorneys when the molestation trial was going on in 2005, but they were never released to the media. All that said, Jackson was acquitted of child molestation back in 2005. So if all of this was out there, I don't know if it was deemed circumstantial, if it wasn't admissible. I don't know whatever legal reasons that this wasn't considered, because it seems pretty damning to me if it's all true. But he was acquitted back in the day. And Michael Jackson's 18-year-old daughter now is tweeting, "I urge you to ignore the trash and the parasites who make a career trying to slander my father."
Yeah, look, I hope it's not true. But to be honest with you, if the police department, if this was made up, wouldn't you think you'd have a spokesperson for the police department coming out and saying it's not true this morning?
Yeah, you would think that something like that would be taking place. But it's really disturbing. I don't think anything disturbs me more than stories like this. Seriously,
no,
of all the weird stories that we talk about and report on, anything involving children, I have zero sympathy for.
Of course. All right. You're back on TV. We're back on the radio next. Stand by. Thanks, buddy. It's Steve Cochran. Big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:41, Pride Week in Chicago. Parade Sunday, of course. And WGN again, proud to be a part of it. Tracy Bames in studio, and Tracy is the boss, publisher and executive editor at the Windy City Times. How are you?
I'm great.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks.
All right, so as we look at a little bit of history here, everybody goes to the Stonewall riots in New York as the beginning of the gay rights movement. That's not even close, is it?
No, it's not even close. The first organization that's known happened in Chicago in 1924. A man named Henry Gerber and a few other men started this organization that was for human rights for all. And, you know, it definitely fits and starts over the decades. But really, Chicago's movement hit very strong strides in the 1960s. Prior to Stonewall, there were many, many events that happened, including police raids. You know, Stonewall definitely jump-started the movement nationally, but there were other cities that also had many other movements before 1969.
47th Pride Parade?
47th Pride Parade.
All right. How's it changed over the years?
You know, my first one was 1984. That's when I started working in gay media. There were probably about 50,000 people in the parade. It was in Lakeview at that point, but it started downtown as more of a march, a protest march, really.
So it wasn't the celebration and the party that it became.
Yeah, it soon became a party.
Okay.
But the first ones were definitely much more political. And by mid-1970s, especially as Anita Bryant took more power nationally trying to move the movement backwards, the movement in Chicago and other places really picked up steam. So that was kind of a pivot point in the parade to become much larger, and it just has grown ever since.
I forgot about Anita Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Anita Bryant was like America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
And then she got very political very fast and very bigoted about the whole thing.
Big time. Yeah. I remember the parade when it first started in the Wrigleyville area. When I lived up there, they blocked off a portion of the street, then the entire street, now the alleys. So, I mean, it's gotten bigger and bigger. And that's a good thing, but, you know, you have to be safe, take precautions. And the city's doing a decent, pretty good job of having added security, especially this year, too, with the Orlando shooting.
Yeah, they've changed the start time. They've moved it up a little bit. People definitely have to take a lot of personal responsibility. It's going to be rainy and very hot on Sunday, and so we just encourage people to hydrate with water and not other stuff, and then also to clear out, because what happens is people really hang out in the neighborhood and traffic stays stalled for hours and hours and hours, and it just becomes really and no police could really police what happens if a million people stay in a neighborhood for hours and hours drinking. So we encourage people to take responsibility this weekend and know that the police are trying to do their best, but they will arrest if
well,
you're not
as they
behaving.
Should. As they should. And I fully believe that you know, this is going to go off without a hitch, and hopefully we'll get good weather and it'll be all good. But in any community, there's a portion of troublemakers. And there have been rumors over the since Orlando specifically that, you know, there's going to be trouble within the gay community. The people, you know, the fight back movement, or we're not going to take this movement anymore. Are you hearing any buzz about that?
No, I mean, there's definitely more political organizations that march in the parade that I think are going to say, you know, we need an anti-gun movement. We need to align with other people that are being affected by gun violence, and that I feel like is a good thing. But I think mostly it's going to be somber and pride, meaning there's going to be tributes to the people who were lost, some of them who had Chicago connections, and then also there's definitely organizations like Gay Liberation Network who will take a very strident approach to making sure that we're connecting the dots on these movements.
Yeah, because I think it needs to be said again for people that don't understand, this guy in Orlando was a sick, twisted, a horrible individual who didn't seek the help he desperately needed. He seemed to have a number of family issues as well, had a ton of self-loathing going on, and decided to take it out on a bunch of innocent people who were just out for a Saturday night.
Right. And unfortunately, I had an editorial in last week's paper about that self-loathing. I've been covering that self-loathing in our community, and our community just has this additional societal pressure on it. But there's been people within our movement as well as outside the movement that have taken that out on the LGBT community for many, many years. Multiple murders of transgender women last year, for example, a record number that were reported. And that is a lot about who are the perpetrators. They have this self-loathing about who they are as individuals, mostly men, who question their own sexual orientation or gender identity, and they take it out on other people. So this is not new. You know, we've had serial killers targeting the community,
sure,
who actually were really self-loathing. There's a wonderful movie called License to Kill that talks about that.
We're getting a lot of politicians
yes,
who seem to have a lot of self-loathing, who are busy, you know, doing things that they're not happy with. But when you go to this core situation here, is there resources in the community that are readily available for people that maybe don't have the means to pay for them to get the therapy they need?
Absolutely. There's many therapists that will do sliding scale, and also Center on Halsted, Howard Brown Health, many, many organizations that can support people as they struggle with this. And there's also spiritual organizations that can help people, because most of this comes from various religions, not just Muslim, but certainly Catholic and other religions, evangelical, where people have a huge difficulty dealing with this. Wonderful movie called For the Bible Tells Me So that deals with Christianity and its oppression of the LGBT community.
The Center on Halsted has really become a great resource as well. I remember when that opened again, it was kind of a small grassroots type effort. Now it's huge, and they do offer programs, and that's where everybody gathered after Orlando, and mm-hmm, the vigil was just huge, spilled out into the street.
Yeah, there's been dozens of local memorials. There's one tonight, the Latino community's hosting. There's a Latino contingent in the Puerto Rican parade on Saturday that was a tribute. Really, the Chicago community has really stood up, the mainstream as well as the LGBT community, to show that we are Orlando.
You know, the thing about the religion part of this, because it is a big piece of it, but as a Christian who spends pretty much every Sunday in church, the God I believe in wants you to love everybody, you know, love thy neighbor, and to do right every day and try to be better tomorrow than you were today. There's nothing in that general description that goes with being judgmental and deciding who should love somebody else and becoming part of that world and acting out in this way. So there's a real hypocrisy to the interpretation of the Bible and interpretation of religion that goes on amongst people who feel pretty good about themselves because they're playing a part.
Right, and God makes no mistakes, right? So what the hypocrisy to me is what's really difficult to take, because most of the politicians that talk an anti-LGBT stance, not only many of them are themselves fighting something, but they're mainly doing it for political reasons. But that has a price. So they may not even believe it. Like George Bush, for example, he wasn't necessarily anti-LGBT. He was politically that way because
right,
that's what got him votes. So that kind of cynical approach really has a price to pay. I mean, the shooter or other people that have targeted the LGBT community do it because they're taking in all these messages from our leaders, and they have to take responsibility for this. Even after Orlando, people were saying this was God's judgment on the LGBT community. It was just horrendous.
But thank God it's the minority, right?
Yeah.
And I mentioned this the other day when the chorus was in here. The next generation, the millennials, with all the picking on the millennials that I can do, the one thing that millennials, I think, really get right is everybody's got something they're dealing with in their life that you have to get over, whether you're straight, gay, whatever. Everybody's got a little extra hurdle, a little extra speed bump in their life. But somebody's sexual orientation, in general, there's exceptions, but in general, this millennial generation is the first generation to go, you got somebody that loves you, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I agree. There's much more acceptance. I think gender identity is the new one that we're working on. In fact, the city council today is working on a bill on trans identity law in Chicago, trying to overturn it, that you don't have to prove your gender to go to the bathroom of the gender you identify with. So we still have hurdles on gender identity more so than the rest of the community. But I do feel like there's been such a major shift even on that issue in the last just 2 or 3 years. Whether you like gender or not, that really caused a lot of people to further understand gender identity and how it's so innate.
Right. And it's such a ridiculous argument. This idea that there's predators who are going to be hanging around in bathrooms, you know, when there's a million ways those sort of six individuals can act out. And there's absolutely no science, it's zero. There's no scientific evidence that somebody who's going through a gender crisis like that has any interest in attacking your children. You know what they want to do? They want to pee. Leave them alone and let them find a place.
Exactly. They just let them pee.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Good slogan, Steve. Right. You can market that.
It's a billboard.
Yeah.
We got enough to do, man. If people, it comes back to what the star of Hamilton said at the Tonys. It's just love. Just love, you know, just love. Love the people in your life and love the people you come across. Do the best you can. Try to be better tomorrow than you were today.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, have a great weekend, and thanks for what you're doing every day with the Windy City Times, and keep up the fine work.
Thank you very much.
Weather this afternoon is going to be the big story, and after 1 o'clock, thunderstorms could start to pop up. More likely, your go zone is from 4 p.m. on till about 9 or 10. And if you're driving this afternoon, which would be, I guess everybody, or if you're flying in or out of O'Hare or Midway, picking somebody up or dropping somebody off, expect delays in all areas. You know, God, nobody loves this town more than I do, but, man, there's nothing like drizzle to slow down a Chicago driver. And you're throwing some thunder and lightning, and you got nothing but trouble. So, did you see a rainbow this morning?
Yeah, wasn't it pretty?
Yeah.
I tried to take a picture of it.
The sky was so red, too. It's cool.
I have a great picture of the sky.
Red sky in morning, sailors take warning.
Yep.
Red sky at night, sailors
delight.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah,
I opened up an ice
sailors.
Cream place called Sailor's Delight.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, we had rainbow sherbet.
John DeCoste is here. How is your YouTube channel doing?
It's doing really well. I have 6,000 videos. And,
no.
4.7
6,000 followers.
I don't even know anymore.
Okay.
You have that many? That's
I'm
great.
Sure he does. I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
You've
it's
got
so
a
funny.
Bunch of videos. This started out as a concept.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on YouTube who become stars. And this started out as we had a meeting. We went, how do we get John off the show? And we thought, we got to make him.
You should say we, because we like him on the show.
Well, so you say.
Yeah.
well, so,
I'm here.
So we decided the best thing to do would be to make him a YouTube star. So you started shooting videos of things in your life. And all I wanted from you was a video of you making toast.
I know.
Because I thought if anything could be just mind-numbing, it's watching a human being make toast
right.
would be it. So you made toast. And
we did have a pretty good one with toast.
And you've made a lot of videos.
Yeah, I made a lot of videos.
So you can see them all on Today and DeCoste.
Today and DeCoste, right.
Your own mind-numbing, work-wasting way to spend your day.
And, you know, you said you wanted me to make enough money so I could be off the show. I just got my first check, and I bought milk.
So
I'm pretty pumped.
So you're on the way.
I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, you're on the way. That's fantastic.
It wasn't even a whole half gallon. It was...
But things are happening for you.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it was. Well, I got it from the school. I didn't pay for it. They just.
So things aren't really happening for you. Quite
it's not really
yet.
Going well, yeah. Steve. I will be here for a while.
All right. Well, that's great. Listen, good to be
today in DeCoste.
Today in DeCoste. All right. A couple other things happening. Denny Hastert goes to jail today.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know?
Denny Hastert goes to jail today, Steve.
All right. That's what we know. Denny Hastert will be going to jail today.
That's my next video, by the way.
No, I'm not making light
of
this.
I don't know how you turn that into a video, but good for you.
Dennis Hastert is going to jail today. He's going to be at the facility, I believe. He's going to be at the same facility as Gerald Loeffner, the shooter of Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman. It's going to be the same max facility.
Oh,
14 months.
I bet they'll have a lot to talk about. That should be great for both of them. Also, this Harriet Tubman story. Harriet Tubman, remember there was a push to have Alexander Hamilton replaced on, is he on the 20?
No, that's Jackson who's on the 20.
Yeah, 10.
He's in the 50, 10? Isn't he?
Hamilton's 10. On the 10?
Hamilton's on the 10.
On the 10, yeah.
On the 10.
Get the Hamiltons.
See, I never carry cash, so.
Oh, so king where I come from.
So we were going to have this great moment of people, coming together and realizing let's put a woman of historical significance on money. And then somebody went, well, not the 10. You know, the Hamilton play is really going well, so let's not do the 10. So they decided to do the 20. Do you know who's on the $20 bill?
Yeah, is it Andrew Jackson?
Yeah.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, okay. No,
yeah,
Yakov
Smirnoff,
States.
The comedian. Okay. And Congressman Steve King from Iowa, who just can't help himself, apparently, now wants to do a bill to block Harriet Tubman from being on the $20 bill. The Iowa congressman says, hey, wait, nobody talked to me about this. And is proposing that we block Andrew Jackson from being removed from the $20 bill. Andrew Jackson, by the way, known bigot. And not put Harriet Tubman, known civil rights hero, on the $20 bill. So,
wow.
You can't make it up, man. You can't make it up.
Wow.
I mean, again, really?
Maybe we print out some special 20s just for... just for the congressman. It's 9 o'clock. Let's wrap up the Wintrust Community Banks Hour by saying we'll get to the news in just a second. Is that my plan? It appears to be. And this is 720 WGN. This is your traditional Catholic party song. Very happy to welcome Father Tom Hurley into the studio. By the way, this is a true story. And this came up years and years ago. A buddy of mine walks onto a golf course in Denver, and he's a single, and he walks in, there's a threesome, and he's playing poorly. So like the first four holes, he's cursing up a storm. You know, he slices, he hooks. He's just letting it fly. Gets to the fourth hole, maybe the fifth tee, and there's a lull in play, and he goes, oh, man, I can't. So you guys in town? Yeah, what are you doing? We're here for the Catholic conference of priests from around the country, or whatever the case was. It was a meeting of Catholic priests. And he felt, and I just went through this with you, Father Tom, because I was off the air. I was frustrated by something. I'm cursing up a storm. I go, sorry about the cursing, but it's not like you don't hear it every Wednesday. But it's nice to see you.
Thank you.
But it's got to be funny to you because you're a young guy and people around you try to act differently. Listen, I'm more comfortable cursing around you.
That's good. You should be.
Yes, because
you do it so well.
You do.
I really am trying to change. The world's largest block party is coming up. But first off, let me ask you the obvious. How's business?
Good. We're still open for business. That's a good,
good
thing. Yeah.
Good.
Open
good.
Every
good.
Sunday.
No, but I, as a Christian, I'm not Catholic, but as a Christian, I do have concerns. And I love the Pope. I think the Pope is one of the great things that have come along for all faiths in forever. But what's the impact, man, on churches, on your church, on your parish?
Yeah.
Jump in anywhere.
Thank you. I was waiting for a curse word.
Generally, those are off the air.
Yeah. He is, he's tremendous. I mean, he's been a great source of energy, I think, for us. And you're right, even beyond Catholicism. Positive figure. I think for us at St. Pat's, I mean... we're lucky. We get people that come in from 200 zip codes around Chicago and Northwest Indiana every weekend. So, like I said, I think we've got a good thing going.
It's a little different though at Old St. Pat's though, because you guys are the rock stars. Well, you are. I mean, it's a very well established, wonderful place. And some of the smaller parishes, I wonder if they're seeing the same sort of influx. Point being, I would think younger folks have come back to the Catholic Church. At least I hope that's true.
We see that. And especially, you know, where we are in the West Loop, which is booming these days. But, I mean, our new member dinners every month are just filled with young adults.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Jen, aren't you Catholic? Jen Weigel is not officially on the show yet, but aren't you Catholic?
I was raised Christian. I was confirmed Episcopalian, depended who my parents were married to at the time. But as I was thinking...
She's not kidding, by the way.
No, it's true. But just you talking about, you know, a threesome, my mind goes somewhere else. So I'm gathering that that means I'm not a practicing Catholic at the moment. I'm not right. practicing. But I wrote a book called I'm Spiritual, Damn It. So I'm a little nervous about saying next to Father Tom.
Again, but again, this is the thing. People get around priests and they go, I've got to act like a different person now.
No, I'm a big Jesus fan. I'm a big God fan.
Yeah, you're big on Jesus?
Big fan of his work.
You're pro-God?
Very pro-God, yeah. Big healer fan. Yeah.
Well, the reason we're putting Father Tom through all of this is because the world's largest block party is happening June 25th, 5:30 to 11. This is a huge deal every year for Old St. Pat's. This is the Super Bowl.
This is it. This is our biggest fundraiser, and we've been doing it for 32 years. When we started it 32 years ago, it was for survival because there was nothing going on there back in 1984. So,
who suggested it back then, and how many people went in the room going, we're not doing that. Let anybody in. We're Catholic, for crying out loud.
Well, I think my predecessor, Father Jack Wall, and people who were around there 30 years ago, they said, come on, we got to do something to get a little money in the
Sandberg, you've been to this, haven't you? You've been to the party?
Yeah, it's the best party ever. And I think Father Terry lured us all in is the first person that I know that was a good time.
But again, you're a Catholic. You will allow the riffraff like me in.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and it's
we,
also...
We love riffraff like you.
Okay. If you don't happen to be in a relationship, it is a great place to meet people.
Okay, now you're pushing it with Father Tom.
So this is like totally Match.com?
Didn't they set the record for most couples ever engaged in like an outdoor event?
Yeah, that's why I went in my 20s. I was like, hi, I'm Christian today.
How you doing?
Christian today? Father Tom, when the lightning strikes, move away.
Jen, I'm moving away from you.
Yeah. Oh, no. I lived in the West Loop, and I would go all the time.
There are some things
It was my neighborhood party.
The world's largest block party includes some great music. Who do you want to plug? Who's coming in?
So this year it's Passion Pit and J.D. McPherson are the
two of the Pope's favorites.
Oh, he loves them.
Yeah, two of the Pope's favorites. And presented by all sorts of great sponsors and friends, including our friends over at XRT. They always put on a great concert.
They do. They've been big supporters for many years.
So, and I don't generally, you know, promote other radio stations, but I like those guys.
They're good people. They're good guys.
Yeah.
And Miller's a big supporter.
Yeah.
Sponsor.
I was hoping you'd say they were a sponsor. I thought maybe you were confessing to me. It's Tuesday. It's June 25th from 5:30 to 11. For people that have never been, you got any advice for them other than take mass transportation?
That's the best thing, of course. Cabs, Ubers, public transportation, definitely. I mean, parking is limited around the UIC festival a lot, but besides that, it's just we like to promote a wise, smart, prudent party.
And what got you into the business? Not the party planning business, but were you drawn to the faith because you had an uncle or somebody in your family that was a priest?
I grew up in the Beverly area. I'm sorry?
When did you get the calling?
I'd say probably pretty early, probably like in high school. I was really thinking about this. I grew up in a very Catholic neighborhood in the Beverly area on the south side and went to Marist High School. And, you know, my father worked at Little Company Mary for many years. So the sisters were just, I grew up in a very Catholic culture. So it just, I think it played on me in many ways.
But I think there's people that literally do have, you know, and if people don't like the comparison, I don't know what to tell you. A great preacher understand show business because you've got to control the room, you've got to deliver the message, and you've got to, you know, hope the message sticks, and then you got to, you know, meet the crowd afterwards. But, you know, having spent a little time on stage, I understand it from that perspective. And my son, who is drawn to this as well, from a non-denominational standpoint, but I think this is what I'll end up doing with his life. He's in the business world now. I love a great sermon. That's all. Whoever's given it. And I had an uncle. The reason I bring up the uncle thing, I had an uncle who was a missionary in the jungles of Venezuela for years.
Wow.
And he would come home once a year. And I always loved when he'd come home and tell his stories and talk about people that he'd converted.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. People appreciate good storytelling and good preaching and folks who are going to try to make a difference in our lives.
Well, I'm just glad to hear that young folks are coming back to the Catholic Church.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. We're going
to
get names.
We got work to do.
We need names.
We need,
we need a list. We want to send out thank you cards. And again, it's June 25th from 5:30 to 11, the UIC Festival lot. It's 1140 South Morgan between Taylor and Roosevelt. Great music, great time. You got a little food there as well?
Absolutely.
It's not a cakewalk, is it?
Cakewalk?
You know the cakewalk thing where you just, probably a non-denominational thing. You know the cakewalk? It's like musical chairs for a cake.
Yeah.
You know, there's a space that stays open and somebody grabs a cake. Yeah. You don't know the cakewalk?
No, I haven't done that one.
You know, it seems like you guys are pretty good at raising money. I would have think you would have had this. It's not just bingo, my friend. UIC Festival Lot, 1140 South Morgan. And if people want more information, you got a website you want to send them to?
Sure, oldstpats.org.
All right. Well, thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good to be here. And
sorry about the cursing.
Jen, yeah.
He's going to pray for me tonight, isn't he?
Sorry,
sorry about the... I'm going to do an exorcism on you right now.
Sorry about the cursing and the fact that Jennifer Weigel thinks the Catholic Church is a pickup joint.
No, that's what you said.
Just the block party.
Just the block party.
Nice to see you, Father.
Thank you.
You're always welcome here. 922, back after this on 720 WGN. This is for Jen. This is single ladies. Hey, Jake's getting it done.
No, don't put a ring on it. Let's just dance.
No, you're just looking for a good time.
Let's just dance.
I like Father Tom. Don't you guys like Father Tom?
I do.
What a hip dude.
Yeah, very great.
It's so funny, though. It's like when you go to the dentist and you go, of course I floss. Why wouldn't I curse around a priest? He's the guy that can help me.
I was at a party one time and there was a sister, a nun there, but not in the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, and I was having a cocktail, and I said, do you drink? I know, dumb question, right? And she's holding a big glass of wine or whatever, and she said, I enjoy a glass of sangria every now and again.
Sure.
Right.
And I thought, what a dumb question.
Of course
but
I
did
ask.
Of course
I drink. Yeah. Well, not all of them drink, because some of them can't
drank
hold
too
their
much
liquor.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, listen, the group of folks that you think are the most staid and the most, you know, tightly wound and everything, you get a group of priests together. Or a riot.
My grandfather was a Lutheran minister on my dad's side. He was wild.
Yeah.
Had an affair with the secretary, blew up the family, moved out of town. And that's where it all began, Steve.
Yes. Wow. Right. But that's your story. None of this previous conversation has anything to do with Father Tom or Old St. Pat's.
No.
Jen Weigel's here. You going to have a show coming up?
I do Thursday night, my conversations with Weigel at the Wilmette Theater. Where I talk with different authors. I didn't even want to bring this up because then I'm sure I would have gotten an exorcism from Father
Straight
Tom.
To hell? Who are you talking to?
Linda Howe. She is a best-selling, award-winning author, actually. And she talks about the Akashic Records, which basically is your soul's blueprint. Everything you've ever felt, everything you've ever done, every lifetime you've ever had, supposedly, there's a record. And Linda can tell
is
you
Is this like
to
the Albert Brooks movie where you're in a waiting room and Rip Torn comes out and goes through the film of your life?
Exactly. This is your life. Yeah. Defending your life.
What are they called?
Life?
The Akashic Records?
The Akashic Records.
How do you spell Akashic?
Right here. A-K-A-S-H-I-C. Akashic Records.
Okay. And this is the film strip of your life.
This is, yeah, the blueprint of your life. And this woman, Linda Howe, who is right here in Chicago, and she's internationally known. She was just in China teaching workshops on this stuff. It's pretty mind-blowing.
Take me through it. So I sit down with Linda, and what happens?
So if you have somebody in your life that maybe you have a challenge with, or maybe there's something in your life that you find challenging.
All right. So let's change. Let's switch this up. Yeah. Andrea goes to see you and sits down with Linda Howe because she's got a challenge in her life and it's me.
Yes.
Right? Then Linda can look open your records and basically tell you the lifetimes the two of you have had together, the challenges, why they've shown up, the roles you've played. Can I give an example of what happened to me? Because
sure,
I went to her and I was like, hey, now I gotta know. We gotta do some research before the show.
Right.
And I mentioned a certain person that I had a relationship challenge with, and she says, okay, so your entire record, basically, every relationship that you've been in was never your choice. Whether you were a man or a woman, it was a setup. You were either sold off to the, you know, the neighbors for the farm, or you were set up with the brother because you were the kings, whatever. It was never my choice. My relationships, never my choice.
But is that true for everybody, or is that just yours?
No, this was just my record, apparently.
But what about free will?
Well, of course free will comes into play, but what she's saying is that It was challenging for me. I was told, here is your relationship. Here is who you're going to marry.
But does
marry.
That mean you're a pleaser?
Yes, very much, because I didn't want to rock the boat with parents, with everything
like
else.
Like the introduction of Mark Carmen.
How you doing, Mark?
my question would be, are you uncomfortable in presenting yourself to the absolute dream man of your life, whoever that would be?
So, no, here's what she said. She said, this is the lifetime where your record says, not only do you get it, it's your choice, and it's the lifetime for the A+. No more B minuses. You've been all B minuses up until this point, and it's time for the A+.
And but is that to inspire you because of this point in your life to go out and get whatever you want?
Well, like you said, free will comes into play. Yeah, yeah. So what she sees in the record is all the points, the destiny points, point to this outcome. Now it's up to me. I can either sit in the couch.
You
got to
do something with it.
I got to go to the block party on June 25th down at Old St. Pat's and see what happens. But you know, you can't just sit at home and hope that everything's going to fall in your lap.
Doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way. You have to deal in. And so she says that, you know, the thing about your records is everybody, she believes that we have many lifetimes and we come back and we learn many lessons. For example, if you have a challenge where nobody appreciates you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Isn't that Hindu?
Well, sure. It is. A lot of religions believe in this.
There's a blend.
And you know what? I just met a Lutheran minister over the weekend in Minnesota who completely believes in this in past lives. He's like, don't tell the church. But, you know, honestly, it's like people are starting to open their mind. And that's what we do in these conversations is it's like, let's have a dialogue about this.
Well, that's one of the things I like about what you do is you don't limit yourself to some strict set of views. You open your mind up to a lot of different views and you open up audiences to people they wouldn't normally get a chance to have a conversation with.
Exactly. So
you know what you call it?
What?
Conversations with Weigel.
How about it?
Yeah. Marketing!
All right, how do we get tickets?
So you go to wilmettheater.com or you can go to jenweigel.com and click on gigs. JenWeigel.com is probably easier because theater is spelled funny, right? They spell it like theater.
The artist way.
Or on Facebook. You can find me. Facebook, I have two F's in my name. Remember, my mom tried to be original. So Jennifer Weigel, it's on there a lot too. But yeah, Thursday night, please come and say hello. We love these events because, like I said, these authors are available. They sign books. They talk. They take questions. And then afterwards, we all, you know, go have cocktail. Some wine next door. Yeah.
And you want to spell Weigel for people?
Oh, maybe. W-E-I-G-E-L.
It's the old saying, right? E before I, except after C. I mean, I think we all remember that.
So I have to tell you a funny story. My brother Rafer, as we know, anchorman in St. Louis, recently I introduced him to one of these woo-woo books, as he calls it. And he's like, you know, Jen, I've always tried to be supportive. Like, yeah, it's my sister. She's going down the woo-woo train. Have fun.
Sounds so much like your dad.
But I really, he's like, this really makes sense. Like he's like, I could totally see that maybe I've got some patterns going on and I'd like to chat with this lady. So
look at that growth.
You know, I'm like, hey now, right?
How about that?
The destiny points lined up for us to have a good connection on this topic. So hey now.
I'm scared to see our past though.
I don't think of Rafer as being that open-minded about these things.
He has
and as far
moments.
As your past and my past, there was a thing that you don't remember, but it involved the police.
Don't remember that.
All right, good luck again. It's jenweigel.com.
Yeah.
And it's Thursday night.
Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Tomorrow.
And right now, oh gosh, we're having a 2-for-1. If you say WGN Radio when you call the Wilmette Theater, 2-for-1. Two tickets for the price of one. So say WGN or Steve Cochran or Andrea Darlis or Jen Weigel's, you know, getting an exorcism, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
We will give you 2-for-1.
That's
right?
Good to see you.
Thanks
as
for
always.
Having me.
Hugs to your kiddo.
Oh, yeah.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my word. I'm aching in places, Steve. I didn't know the human body could ache. All I can tell you, Steve, they're yanking at something that hasn't been yanked before because...
I'd like to testify on behalf of my friend Tom Skilling that that was someone doing an impression. He never said that. Tom Skilling joins us now on very short notice, and I thank you for that. Good morning.
Steve, how are you, my friend? I didn't realize you would tape that. And I was aching in places I didn't know you could ache before. So that was quite legitimate.
Aching and yanking. All right, so what are we in for this afternoon? Are you concerned?
Yeah, I am, Steve. And I'll tell you, I lay out right up front that, you know, these storms never occur uniformly. They'll hit one area harder than another. That's always the case with summer thunderstorms. But I'll tell you what we see. We see 50 knots of wind shear. We see a buoyant atmosphere. We see breaks between the rain with little sun that will induce heating and a big jet stream overhead. So, you know, all the ingredients are there that in the past have produced some corridors of heavy weather. So we flag this situation for that reason, just to make folks aware of the fact that, you know, we could get some good storms. Now, the thinking now is the first batch of storms did what they were expected to do. People seem surprised by it, but they came out of Iowa. affected areas south and west of Chicago. They had up to almost 6 inches of rain in Iowa and 3 inches downstate. Bloomington, the Peoria area all got hard hit in our far southern suburbs. Now we'll get a couple of scattered showers, thunderstorms, and then later today, it appears the main event may be late afternoon and this evening, if all goes as currently charted, and that would include some thunderstorms boiling up. And, you know, with all the moisture in the air and winds converging here at the surface, you get some downpours. So what we'll look for is whether these storms start to train, and we set up one of these 20 to 40-mile-wide corridors of heavy rain where these storms hit repeatedly for a period of time. And if you're in such an area, you'll get some pretty good rainfalls. And heaven knows we need it. Our southern suburbs are crying out for rain. You know, they've had 19 hundredths of an inch at Valparaiso for the whole month. That's 7% of normal down there, and so little wonder we're getting, you know, emails and calls and all from folks in the southern suburbs saying, hey, it's dry down here. We've been missing these rains that everybody's been talking about, although they had a pretty good one the other day in the Plainfield, Shorewood, Joliet area, but that hit came and went fast down some trees and didn't produce the good soaking general rains that we typically get earlier in spring.
But we get, when it's super dry like this, you can have a flash flooding issue, right? Because the ground doesn't absorb as quickly?
Oh, that's true, Steve. You know, the rain won't percolate into the soil when it comes down at rates of 2 inches an hour as some of these, you know, thunderstorms produce their rain. A thunderstorm, you know, is the tallest cloud on Earth. It's got air converging from all directions and concentrating the moisture in a shaft of rainfall that's very intense. You see that in the darkness of the sky as these storms approach. These are
water
vapor that's condensed out. They block the sunlight, looks threatening, and when they come into you, they bring down cooler air in from aloft, which is why you get those gusty winds with them. And
but this is why you always talk about cloud tops. This is kids, pay attention now. This is the importance of cloud tops. And cloud tops, when Tom Skilling starts saying things about we got cloud tops at this level, you better pay attention because that means there's weather.
What it is, Steve, it's a proxy for how severe the storm is. And, you know, if you've got a powerful set of updrafts, you're going to get a cloud that goes up to high levels in the atmosphere. It boils up to, you know, 10 miles, 12 miles into the atmosphere sometime. That's a formidable, wall of water there, and so formidable, like at the bottom of a lake or an ocean, you don't get much light through it. So it gets real dark and ominous looking, and then you mix ice crystals up in clouds of that height and ice, hail and so forth, with water droplets, so you separate charges and you get lightning to result. And that's no fun either, Steve. You don't want to be on the receiving end of one of those, as you and I have discussed before.
Tom, how come I know mainly this happens a lot in the Chicago area, especially here in the city. Like yesterday, beautiful, perfect day, boom.
Gorgeous,
then all of a sudden,
yeah,
and then you didn't know. And then of course tonight, big storm. I mean, what happens? I guess the change in the weather pattern that, you know, is prone to our area like that, where one day it's great, and then, you know, less than 12 hours later, it's the major storms.
Absolutely. That's the way. There are regions in the atmosphere where air rises on a large scale and regions where it sinks. Yesterday it was sinking. When that happens, it dries out. We get these beautiful sunny skies. Yesterday was only the second day this month that had 100% of its possible sun. Now today, on the other hand, we've got 100-degree temperatures that will occur out in parts of the plain states as they did yesterday, and it's through that 100-degree air mass that the winds are hitting these, jet stream winds and the frontal system we have parked through the area that are going to produce our storms here today. So 100-degree air can hold a lot of water, and you bring that to bear in a thunderstorm, and you can get a lot of rain out of it. Then on top of that, these storms start spinning, which is what happens when you got a subtly low-level wind hitting a west-northwest upper-level wind. The air rotates as it rises, and you get these rotating supercellular thunderstorms, and it's from those you can spin up a tornado or even get damaging winds to descend and as microbursts and so forth. And we've seen both in thunderstorms around here over the years.
So let's get specific for the afternoon. As best we can tell at 10 o'clock in the morning, and this volatile stuff means changes can happen.
Yeah, oh yeah. Don't let these gaps in the rain fool you. This is fully anticipated. Steve, there'll be some moments where the sun peeks through. There'll be other moments where there are scattered showers and thunderstorms. The period we'll flag is the one we're really watching closely would be, say, anywhere from 4 in the afternoon to 10 o'clock tonight. somewhere in there, any storm that occurs should be viewed with some degree of suspicion because, given all the conditions and the environment in which it's developing, these things could rotate, produce winds, downpours, and also, even in isolated cases, maybe some tornadoes. Wouldn't surprise me to see some weather watches out before the afternoon's out.
That means right in the smack dab in the middle of rush hour, it could get dicey, and obviously flying in and out of O'Hare and Midway.
You know, I was just looking at one of the model runs we've got right now is suggesting that a pretty good cluster will be coming in the area of 6 to 8 o'clock. So that'd be late in the evening rush hour, though there'll be some scattered showers and storms around before that. But the ones before, the operative word there is scattered. Some areas will be getting them, some won't. And if you get under one, with all the moisture in the air, it could come down fast. But if there's going to be trouble with an organized batch of storms, it looks like it's that, 5 or 6 o'clock to 8 or 9 o'clock, perhaps 10 o'clock this evening. That's the window where anything that develops could be kind of interesting.
You'll be all over it with RoCon and obviously on Channel 9 as well.
We will indeed. We watch these situations pretty carefully, Steve, as you know.
Right, and we appreciate that, keeping the rest of us safe. In the meantime, one of your most important duties yesterday on the RoCon show was talking Kevin Powell off the ledge after Win a Date with Kevin.
I know. Although it sounds to me, Kevin strikes me as a very, very practical individual. When I heard samples of the questions he'd used to interview his potential date,
sure.
I think these made perfect sense.
He's so asking, do
you like chunky or smooth peanut butter? I think these are important issues. And, how did the last date you were on go? That's a nice thing to know.
Sure.
Kevin strikes me, while some of these questions were a little odd as they, continued along, it seems to me these are questions from somebody who's very rational and very practical in the way he approaches his interaction with other human beings.
Well, that's the thing. Women always want men who are honest. And Kevin honestly said, Italian sausage or bratwurst?
He said, I was a little bit flustered by the fact that so many of the questions dealt with food. it seems to me there were other questions to be asked in this situation. But, on the other hand, we are, as men, know that these are the kinds of things we think about,
Well, that's absolutely true. I've said it a million times. Women say we're hard to buy for. I say we like bacon. We like sex. A bacon rack hooker? That would be perfect.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely fine. Tom, you're the best, buddy.
Steve, you are the best, my friend. It's good to talk to you.
Talk to you later. That's fun. That's Tom Skilling, who's wondering why he agreed to come on. No, he's the best. It's Skilling.
Best.
And when Skilling tells you pay attention, pay attention.
Yeah.
Has he ever had a bad day?
Yeah. Tuesday, June 5th, I believe it was, 1974. That was it. It was the one day.
Most happy guy I've ever heard doing anything.
But I'm telling you, the first instinct, if you know anything, the first instinct you have when the weather goes bad, you go to Channel 9 and you find Skilling.
Yep, he's the man.
And I'm telling you, RoCon will have him on this afternoon when it's ugly. RoCon will have, he's got a direct line to the Skilling. He's got the Skilling red phone.
Looks like the bat phone.
Yeah. More important than the bat phone. Hey, speaking of the bat phone, we found Burt Ward.
Oh, yeah, because he bailed on us last week.
Yeah.
Oh, where was Robin?
Robin didn't show up for an interview last week because, and Jake, tell me if I'm right about this, because he was walking his 50 dogs.
That's kind of right. Yes, it is right.
Yeah.
According to Mary.
Yeah, 50 dogs and he was walking them.
Is that the sequel to 50 Shades of...
That's not exactly the same, but we'll ask when we come on if there is anything going on.
And Adam West was helping him as well.
Now it's getting that. Now it's getting interesting.
It's kind of hard. Now it's all like 50 Shades of Grey.
Now it's weird.
Yeah.
When is Burt Ward going to be back on?
Friday.
Friday
at 8:40.
So, again, we're going to need a guest Friday at 8:40 because we're expecting Robin not to show up.
Do you know the 45 of the Batman theme? When I bought it on the A side was Batman da da da. The B side is Robin. Yeah,
is it really?
And repeated and repeated and repeated.
We should find that.
You think you got it like in a contract or something?
Yeah.
Hey, Batman's theme doesn't mention me. It's 9:54. Bill 9:55. Actually, Bill and Wendy coming up.